emergency?
What?
Well, this is 911. Do you have an emergency?
I'm sorry. I didn't call 911.
No, you know, it's illegal to prank call 911. Are you aware of that?
I wasn't prank calling 911. I was trying to call a Tom.
What if someone had a real medical emergency but couldn't get through because you're occupying this line? 911, please hold.
Are you kidding me?
What if one of your friends or loved one needed the assistance of a law enforcement but couldn't get through because you're prank calling 911? 911, please hold.
Okay, look. I did not call 911.
What business are you calling with? Just for my information here.
Your research group.
Okay, this is going to go down in my report. What's your full name, please?
The following radio program is a production of the Hallie and Mojo Show, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. and the shores of the Great Salt Lake in Utah. Here's Hallie Kasser-James and her co-host, Mojo. Could this be one of those weekends that everybody stays inside? Not, especially on the East Coast, when you're watching all of the Hurricane Irene coverage and you see people walking on the beach when the governors and the mayors and all those political people have told everybody, stay inside. But no, they're out on the beach. They're out enjoying the wind and the surf and the rain. I don't know. Maybe I'm ranting too much. What do you think? Let us know. All you have to do is call in at 714-202-9929. You're listening to the Hallie and Mojo Show. Our special guest today is Tom May, but along with me right now is Hallie Kasser-James from Washington, D.C. Let us know what the hurricane has done to you, my little friend.
Good afternoon, Joey.
Oh. That's the third time in 2 days that you have crossed the path.
I'm changing the subject. What were you? I'm afraid of what you're going to say. What?
You're not afraid because you know it. You know it's going to happen.
I
have decided this, folks. Anytime anybody, including my favorite co-host, the world loves this woman. I'm telling you, she is the author of A Year in My Pajamas with President Obama, The Politics of Strange Bedfellows. She is single. And I'm going to raise money for charity, okay? She needs a date.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to start the bidding at like $500. We're going to give the money to charity, okay? Just haven't decided who. We're going to start the bidding. You send us an email of the reason why you need a date with Hallie Kasser-James. We'll start the bidding at $500, okay? That means you still have to travel to Washington, D.C., or you fly your private plane to go pick her up. It doesn't matter. We'll work out the details later. This is just off the cuff right now. Email us at the Hallie and Mojo Show at gmail.com, and I'll check the emails.
I'm going to kill you. You stop this. You just stop. He thinks that this is pathetic that I'm single, and I'm like the gay divorcee. Leave me alone. I'm happy.
But we're doing this for charity.
Every time I call him Joey, folks, he goes through the roof because he hates the name Joey.
Oh,
gosh. He's my Joey. And I can call you Joey. Yes, I can.
No, you cannot. Do not.
You must stop. I posted on his Facebook page one of my favorite songs, Joey, the other day.
Please say you didn't.
He ignored it. Totally. Absolutely. Can you tell we love each other, world? We do. We love each other. But we love each other, don't we, Joe? Joe actually was very concerned because Much happened here on the East Coast this week. First, we were hit by an unbelievable earthquake. And the very first person to call me to make sure that I was okay was my little Joe. And that was wonderful. And then we got a hurricane. And the very first person to send me an email, are you going to be okay? What can I do? My Joe. Joe, so sweet. But we did survive it, although it was one of that earthquake.
It's amazing that you can actually talk on the phone.
I'm telling you, that earthquake scared me. I used to live in California, and one of the reasons that I left California was because I was terrified. Do you hear me? Terrified of earthquakes. I really was. And here I am in my little own backyard in Washington, and va-va-voom, my dogs came running before it even started, scared out of their minds. They heard it, the rattle, before I felt the rattle, and my house was all glass. I walked inside. My God, it was like... It was not a nice day. It was scary. And
yes.
You know what was weird about it, Joe? Because what? You don't expect it. You think you're going crazy. So you don't, mm-hmm. What is this? What's going on? Did something fall? Did somebody blast to build a house? The last thing on a person's mind was an earthquake.
Well, when
but
I called
that
you.
It really was historical.
And from your eyewitness account, wasn't your grass bending over?
Yeah, the windows were bending out, though. I'll tell you that was going on. And my TV almost came off the shelf, and I had to go grab that. And it seemed like at first that the shaking was only on one side of my house and not the other, which was very strange. And then it went on. And it's different. It was different than an L.A. shake. And so all of my friends in L.A. who were making fun of me, I just want them to know that had they come and been in this one, they would have been crying. Because it wasn't a wave like you get in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
It was literally shake, rattle, and roll all at once, and it went on forever. In fact, I looked out the road, which is a country road, which is way far back from me, but there was an UPS truck, you know, a UPS guy,
mm-hmm.
and he had been driving, and he was so freaked out, he had jumped out of the truck and was screaming obscenities. What the is going on? Oh, my God. And
hey,
then
Hallie?
I knew it was an earthquake. Oh my.
Before
anyway,
we get into our banter section, can you do me a favor and look on the internet right now? The president was just speaking. I'm watching WBZ up in Boston on DirecTV, and he was saying something. I don't know what he said. If you can find out what's going on, I'll do some announcements and so on and so forth.
My guess is that he was warning people because the thing was going up there.
Yeah, probably.
That's my guess. You know.
Well,
but,
I tell
you
what.
We went through that yesterday too, and that was another interesting experience. It really was a nothing.
Well, we got a short period of time because we want to get our special guest in here, but we need to do our segment real quick about the week's politics and what people have been thinking and so forth. Our special guest is going to be coming on the air here in about say 5 or 10 minutes. If you'd like to talk to Tom Mabe, you can call in at 714-202-9929 and just work with me on the switchboard. That's all I'm going to say. So, Hallie, this week, you heard something about Governor Perry, who is the governor of Texas and who is running for president of the United States for the Republican
party.
Yeah, party.
Is that what they're called? Are they called a party?
Yeah, it's going to be a party for somebody. So, what did you find out?
Yeah.
Because I don't like commenting on what you're getting ready to talk about. So, the floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Here's the bottom line. Perry, who has been governor of Texas now, this is his third term, has been behind 234 executions. Executions. Now, I have my opinion about whether or not we should be doing, you know, state executions. But here's my other thing. You know, here is a guy who gets out there screaming like a banshee about, you know, no abortions. I mean, I think he's one of the people on abortions who says, I don't want abortions in the case of rape, incest. He doesn't care. Just, we don't have the right to take a life, period. Will you please explain to me how he can justify that thinking and oversee the largest amount ever, I believe, of any one governor of 234 executions. I don't get this. I don't. It's like, are we not all God's children, the good, the evil? Now, I'll say this in fairness. Texas is a big state, and Texas is well known for its executions. Further to that end, Ann Richards, the beloved Democratic governor of that state, and our own particular, like Annie Oakley, she was the best. This is a woman that if you never got to see her or know her, she passed away at a young age. She was special. There were 50 executions in her term. 234 executions, but no abortion rights for the women who have their make that choice for themselves. I'm sorry, Joe. I know we don't like to get into that, but I'm getting into that because it's disgusting. And my friend Robbie, I can see on the chat room right now, is saying he also doesn't believe in Social Security. He calls it unconstitutional. Yeah. This guy is so far off the mark, and yet he could very likely be the next president of the United States. Okay, I've made my peace. 234 executions. Let's shoot Perry. Next.
Okay. Did you hear that the wood that is used in Gibson guitars is apparently a special wood, and the feds, the fish and wildlife folks, have raided the Gibson Guitar Company because of using this particular wood, and the competitor is making waves because they use the same wood. Blew. And why is this, Allie?
You know, this is what gives the government a bad name. This is the reason why, because this is stupid. I'm all for conservation. God knows, more than probably most. You know, I've got a place in the country. You know, I'm preserving what I can preserve. But Fish and Wildlife, Justice Department, raid Gibson Guitar because they've been using a ebony wood that's they swear is taken from a conservation place, you know, that grows it just for its use. And no, not them. They're saying, oh, my gosh, you know, this is disgusting. We have to go and raid them. What, are they kidding? Turns out the CEO of Gibson is a Republican who has been a very vociferous Republican against Obama. The competitor, and I didn't have time to see which competitor we were talking about, Gibson, what are the other guitar makers? I know there's a big one here near where I live, but that happens to be a Democrat, so they didn't raid that. I'll be talking about this later, you know, about government and the size of government. And government, this just seemed over the top to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but, you know, don't we have better things to do right now? Nobody's working. I mean, unemployment is, what, almost 9%, which in the real figure is something like 35%. Oh, help us, please. Everybody help us. This is government gone amok. I'm done. Are you happy?
Yeah. Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
We killed the number two Al-Qaeda operative in Afghanistan. And the Obama administration puts out a press release. Is it every week that we're killing the number two or number one? Do they
That's
know who
point.
Is number one or number two?
Every week. Every couple of weeks, you see, number two Al-Qaeda killed. Well, okay, so in the middle of all of the hurricane and the East Coast, you know, shake, rattle, and roll, comes the story that number two was killed in Pakistan. All right? So I go, haven't I heard this before? So I go online, and what do I hear? Every other week, there's a number two. There must be 400 number twos killed in Afghanistan. Now, I'm laughing about this because I think this is very – do you remember in the old days when Tush, you know, George W. was the big guy, and he was – his Department of Security, whatever they called it in those days, Homeland Security, was issuing threats, you know, it's up to a red level, and every time they needed a vote, they would make it, you know, like, oh, my gosh, we're in big trouble. That's what this thing is with Obama now. He, you know – he got bin Laden, and now we got number two, now we got number four, now we got number 50. I mean, it is just ludicrous. Just stop it. We've got to stop it. It's insanity. We have just got to stop it. Oh, my. You know, people are funny. Are you reading the chat room right now? This is a funny line. Can you think of no better use of wood than making a fine guitar?
Okay, Hallie.
Yes, dear.
One more thing, then we got to get to our special guest.
Okay.
And I want you to talk about this in a very serious tone of voice.
What's that?
And it's about human life. And it's about the dignity of human life.
Yeah,
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
The founder.
I was frustrated
and,
about this.
Yes.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going with this. And I'm frustrated about this. Everybody knows that Steve Jobs has abdicated the throne at Apple. He's been fighting cancer for years. He's got colon cancer, and I think it is a colon, or it's one of those. And, you know, he's had a liver transplant, and, you know, finally, you know, he's down to the end. And what do I find on the Internet? I think the first place that I saw it was on the Drudge Report, and they linked into a photograph that some paparazzi had caught of Jobs, who is looking incredibly frail. You know, and this just makes me angry because, guys, a little dignity here. Is there nothing sacred anymore? Is there? I don't think there is. And this is what makes me crazy. I am so tired of this. We have got to show our fellow man some respect. So this got me so mad. I said, this week I need to say this on air. Stop it. Because the next one could be you. Shame on you, Drudge. Shame on you, whoever that paparazzi was who caught the shot. Shame, shame, shame. The shame of the week goes to those two entities. Okay? That's it. I'm done. I said what I needed to say. Our prayers are with you, Steve Chase. Steve Chase. I don't mean Steve Chase. Steve Jobs. Okay. I'm done. Are you there? Hello? Uh-oh.
Don't say uh-oh.
Oh, there you are.
Yes. I had to go talk to somebody.
Oh, well, you just disappeared.
I had to go talk to somebody. But anyway, Okay. Listen, it is that time, Hallie. We've got to bring our special guest on. Only because he is not feeling well today. We need to get him in so we can play around. And we can do the rest here in a little bit. But anyway, let's take a break so we can get a breath of fresh air, and then we can do what we need to do. Don't forget, Tom May is going to be on the air here very shortly. So if you got questions, 714-202-9929, and stand by.
Social media is rapidly changing the way we discover, consume, and share information. Here at the Hallie and Mojo Show, we are part of that new social media revolution. If you'd like to advertise with us or sponsor the Hallie and Mojo Show,
contact Mojo at thehallieandmojoshow@gmail.com. We would love to have you.
Thanks for calling the Mabes. Your call is important to us, but due to an extremely high level of hormonal changes, all family members are currently busy crying or fighting with each other. To speak with Josh, press 1 48 times. If he doesn't pick up, press 10 more times while screaming profanities. He'll eventually answer. To speak with Mackenzie, press 2, but don't press too hard or she'll threaten to quit school, move out, and become a stripper. To speak with Melanie, well, she no longer lives here anymore. She lives at the gym. She's having a hard time getting older. To speak with Tom, well, I'm probably out in the garage sneaking a beer. So anyway, if you're a telemarketer, take your phone and stick it up your...
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hallie and Mojo Show, Mr. Comedian and telemarketer revenge person, Tom Mabe.
How are you?
We're doing good, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm okay. I'm sitting looking at this video of Steve Jobs. Is that what you guys are talking about, the video?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
No, I didn't see a video.
Yeah, I went to Radar Online. Well, I Googled it, and it came up on Radar Online, and it says the Apple boss, Steve Jobs, unsteady on his feet, day of treatment at Cancer Center. Yeah.
That was the shot. Isn't that the saddest thing that they would put that? That's just
let him just, you know, do his...
Off into the sunset. Happy trails. Hi,
so, Tom.
Do we have is he like stage four? Or do we know anything where he's at in his cancer?
Yeah. He has pancreatic cancer, and he'd actually, he's been fighting it for like 2 or 3 years, and he had a liver transplant, and they thought that was going to take it, and then he started to get ill a couple of months ago. But there was a genius, you know. He just lit up the world with his genius and kind of like sparked out.
Wow.
Sort of young and well, but let's talk about happier, wonderful things. You're on our show, and I know you don't feel well. And right before the show, I fell and gashed my leg, and Joe was screaming, "You need to go to the hospital! Oh my God, you need to go to the hospital!" And then you called, and you were sick, and here we all are. But we're all going to be great now because Tom, you are I've spent
well.
The
thank
week
you, thank you,
Tom Mabe. I'm just loving what I've been hearing.
Well, thanks. You know, it's funny that a 911 called you guys played. I didn't even think that was going to make it to the air to the new CD. I'm putting together a new CD, and I put up on YouTube just to do like a little Bubba focus group, and it just I could not believe the reach. I think it's over 250,000 views in just a matter of a few days here, so it just really took off. It turned out to be like a home run call. I didn't even think it was going to make it this
buddy, whatever you do takes off.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I like it. That's a little.
So I have some questions.
That's a little rich.
No. You're just like our little genius over here. You're our little comic genius. I have some questions, so I'm going to get serious with you for 1 minute because I need to know this.
Go ahead.
I really do. First of all,
okay.
So you grow up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
Louisville. Is that how you say it? Louisville.
Louisville. Okay. Just one syllable.
Okay. And
someone
I just need
it.
To know you got to tell you snorted it.
No, someone snorted. I heard it.
It was me.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm a snorter. But where did you have this the funniest, craziest, most bizarre sense of humor? I love it. Where did that come from? Like, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your folks. Tell me about your upbringing. What's the deal?
Well,
how do you get
that? I was raised by a single mom. I never knew my dad. The only thing I knew about my father is what my older brother told me. And apparently, he was an astronaut in the Civil War.
Your father?
Yes. And he played dobro in a country and western band for extra money. But sense of humor is all we had growing up. We had no money. We had nothing. We didn't have air conditioning. And we always had a joke about what we didn't have. And I was just kind of a class. I was, started out still a musician, for 30 years. I started playing playing like in bands and stuff. For about 30 years I've been playing. And I was a Nashville session player and all that kind of stuff. But I always knew that I was funnier than I was, a musician. I was a better comic than I was a musician. Or I knew I had more of a chance to make money being funny. So just always just class clown. And my Uncle Bobby always used to say, "Tommy, you're a good songwriter. You're good this, but you're missing your calling. You really need to do comedy." And so I just started doing it as a flute.
But you see things differently than everybody. Yeah, because I'm telling you, I lived, breathed, and died Tom Mabe this week. I mean, I went through every video I think you've ever made. Unbelievable. I mean, you just see things. Like, I mean, it's hysterical. From the, I would love to be in your head for about, well, maybe 10 minutes.
I wonder if it's mad. I wonder if it's because I'm dyslexic or something. But I always put a weird spin on stuff. You don't see it coming. I think that's the good thing about, when you're writing, you try to do something that people don't see coming. And the whole telemarketing thing, that was a fluke. I had a recording studio working at my house when I got married. We moved over in right off Hurstbourne Lane and Waterson Trail, and actually 6 Mile Lane what I'm talking about. And I had a little studio in my house, and I was self-employed. I would jump when the phone rang, hoping it was a client. And 9 out of 10 times, it was a telemarketer. And I try to be nice to him. I say, "Guys, I'm trying to make a living here. You use my phone more than I do, and I pay the bill." And I finally just They kept on calling from this carpet cleaning place over and over again. I found that was my first prank I did was the carpet cleaning thing. With they get blood out of the carpet and all that.
Are you coming from a happy place or a sad place, do you think?
Me? Oh, I don't know. Mainly he's been drunk. Like, I'm like at a four-beer buzz all the time. You could probably say that's happy, you know. But I get dark. I got
Mr.
Worry.
You're a happy drunk, huh? You're a happy drunk.
But I drink. I feel normal around three or four beers. I'm very dark. You know, I got Mr. Worry and constantly depressed, constantly worried about people thinking my poor kids have it. But I think that's part of being creative. You're going to be kind of weird, you know.
Well, definitely weird. I know about creative and I know about weird. But is your mom as funny as you are?
She's funny. She's a drummer actually, and she's a jazz drummer playing the country. That's how she fed us growing up. She played at the Mojo Do Drop In and Schooner down the West End.
No,
she would
really.
Yeah, she. That's how she paid the bills. She was double dipping. She was getting Social Security and playing on the weekends for $15 a night. So she was kind of double dipping.
That is unbelievable. Good for her. So she was good for her. That's great.
She's a go-getter. We lived in the ghetto, and she figured out that we could move out to Maryville, Bullet County. Yeah. Somehow she got a loan. They gave her a loan for this little three-bedroom house, and I lived there until I was in my 20s.
And yet are you the youngest? Your brother is older or younger?
Yeah. Well, I found out. I actually met my biological father when I was, 10-15 years ago, and he passed away. But I got other brothers that I didn't know about. But I'm the youngest in my immediate family.
You're the youngest in the immediate family. You were the class clown, and
I can relate to that.
You're a good-looking guy. You're a very
handsome
guy.
That's right.
I'm
fat and skinny at the same time. That's just awful. I got this. If you look at me from the side, I got the silhouette of a key. I wish I could lose about 30 pounds on my chin, so I can show my
nose. Yeah, I can relate to that. But no, you're a good-looking guy, and most comics are not as good-looking as you are. That like,
well,
you
that's
know, you can
probably
see
why
it.
I'm not that successful. I'm not funny-looking. I'm funny-looking.
And you got a great head of hair.
Thank you. I will tell you, I take Propecia, and I use Head and Shoulders, and Rogaine. I do that every single day. I'm doing it as we speak.
How much did they pay you for that commercial?
Are you talking to us from the shower?
No, I'm just sitting in a chair here. I'm just, it's awful. My day is just wasted. We had boys' night out last night, and I had a party at my at a party
oh, now
at my
the
house
truth
last
comes
night.
Out. Now the truth
well,
comes
yeah,
out.
Oh, yeah. There's more.
It was
well,
that
I think, no, Bobby Corners came over, a friend of mine, Bobby Corners, and he's just coughing on everybody. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And I got a basketball court in my backyard, and we were all out there. But when we came in the house, he just was like, oh, stay outside. But we were up till it's funny. This is my one neighbor I've been trying to get out of my house for a long, long time. It's Tim. Come down. We're going to have some beers with us. And right when he walks down, I'm kicking everybody out. So it's
oh, no.
It was kind of weird. And my wife and kids, I put them at there's a new Wyndham hotel over by Sam's Club in Louisville. So I put them there for the night so I can just have a guy's night here at the house.
Hey, Joe, let me interject for a minute. Joe, give us a little – do you have a little bit that we can give our listeners?
Yes.
Some of the craziness that is this man, this just brilliant, brilliant man.
Yes, I
made.
Do. And Tom, what are we going to do?
My stories about the basketball and the coughing and the Sam's Club.
Actually, I didn't get that one, but I did get your replay of the murder scene. This is probably one of my favorite.
80 million views. That's a big call.
Yes.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
So here it is. Here's Tom Mabe, Mabe in America, with the murder scene.
Yes, can I speak with Tom Mabe?
Who's calling?
Well, this is Mike Stewart with Network. You've been selected to receive a complete digital satellite system for free. With this, you're going to...
Let me ask you something. Did you know Tom Mabe? Were you a friend of his?
No, I'm not. I'm just calling to... Hold on.
Hold on 1 second, all right? Hey, guys, get really good pictures of the body. Yeah, and dust everything down for prints. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Let me bring you up to speed.
You've actually called a murder scene. Mr. Mabe is no longer with us. I'm Officer Clark. I'm conducting a homicide investigation. I want to ask you a series of questions. First of all, what was the nature of the business you had with Tom Mabe?
I had no business with him. I'm sorry to bother
you. No, hey, hold on. Look, I want to ask you to stay on the phone. This call's already been traced, and we may need you to come in for further questioning.
You don't understand. I'm just calling on...
No, look, you don't understand. Unless you want to be charged with obstruction of justice, it's imperative you keep your ass on the phone, Mike.
Well, how about you just talk with my supervisor then?
No. Look, we'll get your supervisor in a second here. First of all, give me your whereabouts.
I'm at work.
You're at work?
Yes.
You being a smartass?
No, sir.
Let me put it to you this way, Mike. Say I wanted to mail your ass a letter. What would I have to write on the outside of that envelope to ensure the mailman would deliver it right to your ass? Geographically speaking, Mike, where is work?
4715 West Street.
Hold on, that's 478?
Yes, sir.
Mike, hold on 1 second, all right?
Yes.
Get the Little Police Department Homicide Division on the phone. Yeah, give him this information. Tell him he's being sought in connection with a fatal shooting and aggravated robbery.
Mike, how did you know Mr. Mabe again?
Well, wait, you're calling the Littleton Police Department? I'm hundreds of miles away. I don't even know the guy. I'm in Colorado.
No, don't let that scare you. That's just a formality. Have you ever been to his place of residence?
No.
All right, and tell me again, Mike, where were you last night between the hours of 8 and 10?
I'm not feeling real comfortable about any of this.
Have you even ever spoken with Mr. Mabe, Mike?
No, I haven't. I don't even know the guy. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Okay, just calm down. Hold on. Look, just back up. I got one more question for you, Mike. As you well know, I'm sure, Mr. Mabe was a flaming homosexual. And there's no easy way of asking it. I don't want him back.
God.
Tom.
Crazy, yeah. Man. What an absolute crazy man. You were off the wall. I have a question, another question I want you to answer. Tell me about this. What was your favorite, who was your favorite comic? Who do you kind of like listen, when you were a kid, who were you listening to? Who do you think you were, you know, was affecting?
I really like the clean comics. I like the, Richard Pryor. No, I'm teasing. I love Richard Pryor, but he wasn't clean.
I love Richard Pryor. That was a loss.
Yeah, that and, Johnny Carson. I'm trying to think. Several. I liked a lot of great comics. One of my idols is Jerry Seinfeld, and I got a buddy of mine tours with Jerry, Mark Schiff, and they were down in Nashville, and he said, hey, Tom, come down, and we'll hang out before the show and all that. And I get there, he said, hey, did you get this little backstage pass? I said, yeah, I didn't know what it was. He said, come backstage, I got a present for you. He said, I got to go back, and Jerry was having his kid, Shepard was the kid's name, and he had a bad back. Jerry's back was broken. He said, Jerry's going flying home, and he said, you can have my room. So I got to go up to the Lowe's Vanderbilt Theater, and the top floor, there was two rooms. One was Mark's, and one was mine, which was Jerry. And Jerry's been in there all day, and I felt like I was sleeping in the White House. He had all these newsprints laying around because his back was bothering him. There was like six rooms. There was a four bathrooms, a piano. And I'm like, I could barely sleep. I was in this incredible suite. It was bigger than my house, this thing was. And then the following week, I'm in Corbin, Kentucky, in a motel where the door wouldn't even lock. And I had to, stay up all night because it was like a meth lab hotel, one of those motels or whatever. Kind of like, wow. It's a big difference between my career and now that was a mess up. The guy who booked me put me in a bad hotel. He shouldn't have done that. It was for a corporate thing, but But I like all those TV comics.
Do you think that Jay Leno was funny?
Jay is a professional comedian. There's a difference between being naturally funny and professional funny, and I think Jay is a very professional. He has a good show.
That's a really good point. But you know what I like? You know what I don't like about his show? And you know why I think he doesn't work like as good as Carson worked? Because he doesn't have his Ed McMahon. He needs an Ed McMahon. I think you should be his Ed McMahon.
That would be great.
I'm gonna write in and tell them that they need they need you. They definitely need you. Do you know who you do you remember Candid? What? I'm gonna shut up. What? Yeah.
Well, no. I was just saying he works at the Hermosa Beach every Sunday. Jay works at Hermosa Beach
Comedy
Magic
Club.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a great room up down the room, and I think Jay is shocked by his success. You know, he's doing well. Obviously, I like Letterman. I'm a Letterman guy.
Hey
oh,
Tom, didn't you and Jay Leno work together at the Comedy Club there in Louisville at one time?
He's worked there, but no, we did not work together.
Okay.
So tell me something. Yeah, no, you go. You finish.
No, I'm 44. I think when Jay was doing comedy, I was still in high school. So.
Okay.
Back when he was doing some.
He's just a boy, Joe. Not like you.
Oh,
so why do you want me to tell you? You said tell me something.
What? I was watching Candid Camera.
Uh-huh.
In a way, you're better than Candid Camera. You should have your own
show. Man, that's that format of Hidden Camera has been around. You know, I do a lot of Hidden Camera stuff, and
I love that.
If you go to YouTube and just type in Tom Mabe or Mabe in America, one word, I got several videos up. But Candid, I mean, that format has been a proven format for 50 years, you know, and it's still, when CMT will air one of my shows, a rerun, it still outrates a lot of their new stuff, and I don't know why they don't renew the series. I mean, it was a lot of work and difficult and everything, because there's, you know, you got 20 different bosses, and everybody's telling you what's funny and whatnot, but I don't understand. They spent $12 million promoting a show had Melissa Peterman and Ed Asner, and $12 million just promoting it, and it didn't. They played my rerun the same day and out.
Why they didn't have you? They need you.
I don't
know.
I've had so many shots of TV, and you know, I thought my CDs came out before the blue collar guys. You know, I was doing this country thing before. You know, country was, well, they say country is cool, but before country comedy made it really big, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're just, nah, people don't like country. And then a few years later, you know, Larry the Cable Guy, and, you know, made that big blue collar tour just took off.
Oh,
I love to be
that.
In something like that.
Hey, Tom, just want to.
Do you have managers and all that jazz?
Do what?
Are you there? Do you have managers and all that jazz? You tell them that I said that they ought to be pitching a show for you because you are that good.
I tell you, there's a good living doing corporate shows. I'm a squeaky clean comic, and I go around the country. You know, AT&T will fly me in and for 45 minutes and send me back home. I really enjoy doing that. It's a more bang for the buck, and a buck for the bang, or whatever you say it. And doing a show was just really, really hard. I kind of like exactly where I'm at right now. You like what you're doing.
So I have another question for you. So, you know, you get away and you do all these corporate shows. I don't know how many days year you're on the road, but are you easy to live with?
Oh, yeah, because I'm never here. My kids think I live at the airport.
It's always a new love fest, huh? Every time you come home.
Yeah.
So tell me what it's like to bring up teenagers, huh, who have no sense of humor. What happens to the sense of humor between the ages of, like, you know, 13 and 19? Where does it go?
Well, actually, my kids, my daughter's going through the terrible twos, she's 8, which is weird. But actually, my kids are only, I talk in my eyes like I got teenagers, but my kids are actually 12 and 8. So I don't have teenagers yet.
12 is pretty darn close. You're in for it now, big boy.
Yeah. He's getting just a little, almost too cool for dad. I can see the attitude, but I'm happy to see the attitude. I'm happy to see, just not watching Hannah Montana. My kid's like extremely into NASCAR. Matter of fact, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and look at, there's a call that says my 10-year-old son is my manager. And 2 years ago, he's so into NASCAR. We actually sponsored a race down Daytona and all kinds of stuff. We just, I mean, we're I never knew anything about NASCAR, and then he comes along and he gets obsessed with it. And so we're constantly, when I'm home, we're going to the races and things like that.
Hey, Tom, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I am planning to come in to Louisville sometime around the holidays, Christmas holidays. And I'd love to get together with you and do a video. I've got a couple ideas. You know, we'll pitch them then and do the impromptu thing and do some stuff, you know, based on what we did today. And I would love to do it with you, man.
Well, yeah, just see what they
I'll
are,
put
you know.
On the side, Joe.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let me get my calendar.
The wall.
No, that's fine.
I mean, are we going to say no on the air? I don't think so.
If they're funny, I'll be more than happy to do them with you.
Oh, believe me, it will be.
Okay,
well, here's the deal, guys. Can I come too?
No.
Yes.
You're
going to
be on your date.
On my date?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, he's trying to sucker some guy to marry me.
No, I didn't say
really.
What we did, Tom, at the beginning of the show, she kind of messed with me.
Put me up for auction.
I'm putting her up for an auction, starting at $500. And what it is people place their bids at our email address, and I'll sit there and pick one of the guys and let them, you know, go out on a date with Hallie. They got to have they got to take her to a good dinner because she doesn't eat during the week. And the money is going to go to charity.
Well, that's nice.
I'm the charity. That's the charity. I'm the charity. That's where that money is going. So here's another one for you. You think bad people are crazy or stupid?
Oh, God. I think they're stupid crazy. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're all – there's so many crazy – you know, I come from a whole, you know, line of nuts. I mean, there's definitely a – I don't know. Some people are just stupid. Some people shouldn't breed. You know, you ever see that? You're like, oh, my gosh. I was at Walmart in Hillview. And the old guy, this lady, she's smoking in her car with the windows rolled up, you know, and the kids back there with a little baby bottle thing. I'm like, geez Louise, man. Are you guys headed to the Jerry Springer show? What the hell? And you know that tattoo she got it with a child support check. You know, I mean, that's just crazy stuff. It's just there's some people are just stupid. They just don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. I think stupid and crazy and white trash are three different things.
Oh my God.
They're stupid, crazy, white trash people. I do know that.
Well, Tom,
yeah, and they're all in the federal government. Did you notice that too?
Yeah.
Do I get to going down that road, or let me ask you guys a
question. Now, Hallie, you're where are you at? Are you in D.C.? Where are you broadcasting from?
Yeah, I'm sort of in D.C. Yeah.
Sort of. Okay.
But
do you think the Taliban was behind that earthquake the other day? I'm just curious. I can't believe they didn't do a video.
Did you feel it, by the way? Did you guys feel it?
They should release the video clip. I did not feel it. No, I'm in Kentucky. Some people said they felt it here, though.
I thought it was just gas.
My brother thought that. He lives over off Thixton Lane.
Thixton Lane.
Whatever.
Really?
But I want to answer his question. I would say definitely it was the Taliban. And if it wasn't them, it was the number two Al-Qaeda guy, which is why they got him the next day.
Yes.
You didn't
hear
that part of the show at the beginning when I went on my riff about, you know, every other day that the administration gets another number two Al-Qaeda. It's always number two.
Well, you know, I was going to do a video of me and some of my buddies dressed up like, you know, they always release that Taliban tape of those guys on the Taliban, and they're working out on the monkey bars or whatever. You see them, they're just climbing or whatever. I was wanting to get one, go over to the other Seneca Park and have me and my buddies dressed like Taliban and have us, like, going down the slide on boards and on the seesaws, you know, like us working out. A new video released by the Taliban, you know, just some goofy stuff. My friend said, you'll get killed. They'll kill you. What are you doing?
They will. Who was it last week who said something about it was David
Letterman. Yeah.
Letterman. They're going after Letterman.
That's hilarious.
He's finished. They got the Secret Service on him right now, protecting his
Really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. he said something about was it Al Qaeda, I think, and he got threatening stuff. Listen, my voice is going high because of it. I'm worried about him.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you got.
Holly, I like you in the blue. I like this picture of you here. You're in the blue. I like that. Is that a pajamas top? What is that?
Oh, that's from my new book. Oh, my old book. That's from my book, A Year in My Pajamas with President Obama. The Politics of Strange Bedfellows.
Okay.
That's my
book.
You need to read. You'd laugh. It's a funny book. You'd laugh. Some of it's funny.
I'll read. And what's the name of the book?
A Year in My Pajamas with President Obama. The Politics of Strange Bedfellows. I did write papers all over the world and whatever, and it's a series of the columns that I wrote for Election 2008, which makes it very relevant today because if the past is prelude. See, I can hawk,
what do you think? What do you think about Obama? What do you think about Obama? You like him?
Turn around. Who's in control of this interview?
I tell you what, let me ask you. I almost got killed. I did a stupid joke one night at a... I said, the economy is so bad we can't afford a white president. And I almost got killed that night at the club. It was awful. I should never have said that. Isn't that bad?
Yeah,
I'm
be
sorry.
Careful of, but, you know, nobody has a sense of humor when it comes to
color. You can edit that part out before y'all air this.
No. I understand that. No, I thoroughly understand that. I really do. I mean, you know, it's a shame because it just goes to show you. I mean, you got to have a sense of humor. You got to laugh at yourself too. I mean, you know.
Well, me being married to an African American woman, I can say that stuff. So.
Hey, Tom, I've got an idea.
I've got Jewish blood running through my veins, so I don't understand.
I've got the idea for the video. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
We walk into the Smyrna Inn.
Okay.
They're on, I can't remember what the road it is.
Smyrna Road.
Yeah.
Smyrna Road.
Smyrna
there
you
go.
We walk in.
He's
there.
Getting old.
Just normal, everyday beer drinking guys from Okolona and Hillview.
We start slow dancing.
Going to bed, change it to the Al Qaeda crap, and we run out and scare everybody.
We'll get shot. Now, you're talking to Smyrna M. I think it's the law. You got to have a gun when you walk into that place nowadays.
I'm interjecting you two because you both are these Louisville boys. So is there something about Louisville? Because I have to tell you, Joe is a funny guy. Joe's offbeat 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 as well. Is there something in the water in Louisville that makes you guys talk funny and be funny?
I don't know what that is.
Talking.
I think the further south. When you go, the further south you go until you get to Miami, then it changes back to like a different language. It's just a southern thing.
Yeah. Southerners
that's
are
two,
funny.
That's two racist things I've said so far. I apologize. I didn't mean
well, no,
like
I
that.
Said it first.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I said
my
it first.
My phone was beeping. I had actually, I had an out of area telemarketing call just beep in. I swear, I miss some of the stuff.
No, you know, it was Joe. Joe was hoping you'd pick it up and he could do a telemarketing deal with you and he could get it taped. So, you know, in case you tell Joe when he gets to Louisville in a couple of months, you know, that's where he's coming from. What can I say? Yeah, I'm so bad. And how about you? Is your wife funny too, or she has no sense of humor because she's got to live with you? She's got to be serious.
Oh, she's funny. She's a good mom. She's not African American. I was teasing. We've been together for 20 years, and
20 years. All my marriages put together aren't 1/20th of that. Good for you. That's good.
All your marriages. Why do you keep on screwing them up?
She's
what you
been
do?
Married 13 times.
Wow.
I haven't been as lucky as the two of you. I haven't. I guess I need to move south so I can meet a nice Southern boy. Who's gonna
You're
make
not gonna
me
miss
happy.
Anyone nice in D.C. It's all
no,
it's
that's
all
for sure. Trust me on that one. No, that's not nice. I won't say that. I got a lot of nice friends in D.C. and stuff, but you know, it's tough.
Hey.
It's tough out there in women, you know, dating land. It's not an easy trip. You know, I bet you have a lot of things to say about that.
I'm so glad. I mean, I couldn't survive being single. I'm so socially awkward. I just couldn't do it. Golly.
You don't sound awkward at all.
I'd just be
together.
Awful. It's not easy.
You know what it is? Because when you get a little older and everybody's divorced, they're all scarred, including me probably, and
You know, it's
like got baggage and everything.
The good ones you're married and the ones who aren't, or the one, what did you say? And oh, it's all the
they
liars
got baggage.
And cheaters and, yeah, I mean,
I can't
know,
believe Michael
like,
Jackson's dead.
No.
What?
I can't believe Michael Jackson's dead. Is that crazy or what?
When did this happen?
I just heard about it.
Really?
And Reagan got shot and the space shuttle blew up. I just heard all this just now.
Well, there it is. That's why I can't go to Louisville, I guess, after all, because you guys are too slow. It was a great line.
Yeah,
you ever see the
that's
movie?
It, yeah, that's it. We're not
the
sharpest crown in the box, I guess, or brightest one of the brightest crown. So I don't even know what to say there. But
the best
well,
in the
brightest.
So it's just like, just because, do you know what that line is about? You know, just because we talk slow doesn't mean we're dumb.
Yeah,
just because I sound dumb, I mean, Fox really does a great fit on that.
Well, Hallie, I tell you what,
I think we've kept him longer than we said we would keep him because he was not feeling up to
it. So, I'm just sitting here. I probably need to go ahead.
Give us a pitch for Mabe in America and tell us where you might be here in the next couple months.
I do like one or two clubs a year. I'm going to be at the Improv October 27th through 30th in Louisville, the new Improv.
Louisville.
And, that's about it. Everything else is a private corporate shows. I'm going to be in Sioux City, Iowa, Dayton, Ohio next week, I guess. I'm like a trucker hauling jokes, man. I'm all over the place.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Tom.
Well, they're
very
lucky folks to get to hear you live. I wish I could do that myself. And I know that Jill will have some things to say, but I wanted to say thanks for stopping by. You are a trip. You are a trip.
Well, no, thanks for having me. And please, you know, your listeners can go to YouTube and type in just Mabe in America, one word, Mabe in America, and to see Selma YouTube stuff.
And TomMabe.com.
TomMabe.com, that's right.
Well, Tom, I hope you get over the brown bottle flu.
Yeah, what they call the I don't think it's that. I think it's something else, too. I mean, I didn't drink that much. I'm just white, man. I feel like I've been hit by a truck.
Really?
I think I've been, I need
number?
The hair of the dog. Do what? Taking a license number? So you're funny. That's two. It's like Michael Jackson. Wait, what just happened? You get a license? I like those are two funny. I didn't care for the Smyrna thing too much, but I like the last.
Well, hey, we can always go to River McGee's.
I've never been there.
You know it burned down.
I thought it was Whispering Hills. What are you talking about? What burned down?
Fibber McGee's down in Preston and Blue Lick.
All right, boys. To be continued off air.
Yeah.
Tom,
I just want to tell you, thank you for being here. Even though that you are under the weather, we appreciate it. And we will plug you every chance that we get. And hopefully sometime before the end of the year, we'll get you back on the radio and talk about any other strange things that may be happening to you in a cornfield.
That's a silly bit. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Yeah,
not a problem.
The more
darling,
bit that
thanks
I just
again.
Did. All right. Bye bye.
What I like to do is play a little bit more of Tom Mabe. This will give Hallie a breather so she can do her commentary for this week. We're running a little bit late and a little bit over, but hey, it was well worth it. And hopefully, you had a whole bunch of laughs. And if you didn't laugh yet, this will make you laugh.
Hello.
Yes, can I speak to Thomas Mabe?
This is Tom.
Mr. Mabe, this is Tanya with the I'm just following up with you. I called you back in December about renewing your subscription.
Help me. I'm being held against my will. You gotta help me.
I'm sorry, do what?
I'm being held against my will. You gotta get me out of here.
Okay, sir. I'm gonna put you on hold for a second.
Don't leave me. Don't hang up the phone. I'm scared. Don't hang up the phone. Please don't hang up.
Tell me again, what's going on?
I can't take it anymore. They've taken everything from me. I had a 66 Chevelle Super Sport with crackers, and they stole it. And they traded it for a minivan.
Are you at 4111 Morgan James?
No, that's my old address. They took me from there. I'm not there anymore. That's not how I was.
And where are you now?
They keep me moving. I don't know. One night it's like football practice. The next night it's scouts. And there's this little one. And he can torture me. Watches.
take this opportunity and tell you about Hallie Kasser Jane's book, A Year in My Pajamas with President Obama, The Politics of Strange Bedfellows. There are many President Obama books, but none quite like this one. Hallie has created a book in her sassy and smart style. And some may ask, did she really stay in her bed and stay in her pajamas for a whole year following President Obama? Well, only one can answer that. So check out Hallie Kasser Jane and her book, A Year in My Pajamas with President Obama, The Politics of Strange Bedfellows, on Amazon.com.
Okay, it's been a great show with Tom Mabe, along with my co-host, Hallie Kasser Jane. She has a few words of wisdom this week. It's called Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Hallie Kasser Jane.
Thanks, Joe. Yikes, what a week on the east coast of the United States. First, a 5.9 earthquake shake rattled and rolled unsuspecting citizens from Atlanta to New Hampshire. And then came Hurricane Irene, bringing anything but gentle rains to the very same populace. What next? Locusts and plagues? Mother Nature was heaving a hissy fit, a punishing blow. I said, shake, rattle, and roll, tra-la-la. Looking at a map of the East Coast, is it merely coincidence that at the center of the storm sits Washington, D.C.? Even as Mother Nature cut her swath of devastation across the region, in Washington, D.C., the tide took nary a turn. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of the deeply shaken and flooded Virginia Commonwealth continued his political rant. No federal aid for disaster, Cantor stormed, without spending cuts. Does this partisan ever miss an opportunity to further his political agenda? You look so warm, but your heart is as cold as ice, tra-la-la. But Majority Leader Cantor was not alone. As Hurricane Irene barreled along the U.S. East Coast, Republican Representative Ron Paul of Texas said the nation would be much better off without the Federal Emergency Management Agency, popularly known as FEMA. I live on the Gulf Coast. We put up with hurricanes all the time, the GOP candidate told CNN after a New Hampshire campaign event Friday. There's no magic about FEMA, he rattled on. More and more people are starting to recognize that. Would someone please shake, rattle, and roll some sense into this man's callous heart? Even the Republican National Network, a.k.a. Fox News, posted an opinion piece titled, Do We Really Need the National Weather Service? Do We Really Need Fox News? About this Republican onslaught against the federal government, treating it as some evildoer, which is their campaign slogan for 212. No doubt about it, there, the federal government is evil catchphrase has gotten traction and no fight back from the Democratic Party. Instead, the Obama administration has been on the defensive, almost apologizing for its efforts to bail out Wall Street and the audio industry in the wake of the Republican-led storm that was a gale-force destructive wind that blew down our fiscal house in 2008. Would someone please shake, rattle, and roll the Democratic Party? You're being sandbagged. Do you get it? You're being sandbagged. If you don't fight back, you're about to be shake, rattled, and rolled right out of the White House. What a perfect campaign theme from the opposition party. Reduce the size of government, and by the way, reduce President Obama while you're at it. Never mind the very people who are campaigning on this theme earn their living from, you guessed it, that evildoer government. The founding fathers understood that there is a fine line between too big a government and one that is ineffectual. But of course, the founding fathers were patriots first and partisans second, unlike the destructive force of right-wingers leading this earthquake of a political campaign. No FEMA, no National Weather Service. The federal government is evil. Tell that to the millions of the East Coast on the East Coast who suffered damage at the fury of Mother Nature this week. As to the Republicans, locusts and plagues.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Hallie Kasser Jane with her weekly commentary and awesome stuff, Hallie.
Thanks, Joe.
Once again, this is the Hallie and Mojo Show. We're glad that you were with us today. I'd like to thank our wonderful special guest, Tom Mabe, Mabe in America on YouTube. For now, this is Mojo for Hallie. You've been listening to the Hallie and Mojo Show on Blog Talk Radio.
To the Hallie and Mojo Show.
If you have any comments, suggestions, or you would like to appear as a guest on the Hallie and Mojo Show, email us at thehallieandmojoshow@gmail.com. We are talk radio for fine minds. The Hallie and Mojo Show. Thank you for listening.